we look at that text, let's ask the Holy Spirit to open our hearts. Spirit of God, we come to you in thanksgiving, for we know, Lord, that you speak to all hearts. So we ask you to walk amongst us and speak to all of our hearts. And if there's one listening today who knows not Christ as Savior, we pray that today would be the day of their salvation. We pray that today would be the day they met the Lord Jesus Christ, was invited into his kingdom. God, we pray also that reach us through conviction or edification or comfort. But let us leave here with an application. Let us leave here, Lord, with something we can apply to our life and share with another. It's always in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Someone touch me, for I perceive power going out from me. Our text is a response to being touched by a certain someone in the crowd. That certain someone, of course, was a woman who had an issue of blood, was bleeding for 12 years, and nobody could stop the flow of blood. Now, we look at this event as just that, and it doesn't seem like there's much there for healing. But when you look at it a little closer, there's three points that I found in it that I'd like to share with you this morning. The crowds, the woman herself, the unknown woman, and the blessing. And interestingly enough, these three points are all connected by faith or the lack of it. And since our text is about faith, I would remind you that all great blessings flow from faith. Matthew 17:20. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, Jesus said, you will say to this mountain, move from here into there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. And also, if you look in your bulletin, now that's about being a victorious believer. All of these things we discover about ourselves. We shall discover in our service to Christ, self-confidence. All of these things are about self, and we only discover them through faith. Faith in God's word, faith that what he's saying to us applies to us. And I would suggest that you take that home, because all of us, as I told the Bible study this morning, there is no greater enemy we face than ourselves. None. We have caused the most damage in our lives, and the most pain in our lives has been caused by ourselves. And so I think that insert, it was from the book Born Crucified by Ellie Maxwell. Exercise when you read that with faith and see what God will reveal to you. It's also important to understand that genuine faith is the rarest thing in the world. A lot of people have faith in many things, but genuine faith in God and Jesus Christ, biblical faith, the gift of faith, is the rarest thing in the world. It's as rare as what's called a red diamond. And we know that's true, because most of the world doesn't have biblical faith. They have faith. Much faith, maybe more faith than us, but it's not biblical faith. It's not the gift of faith that comes from God. It's a faith that's self-generated, and that faith has nothing to do with God. Luke 18:8 tells us just how rare it is. Jesus saw so little faith in his ministry. Rhetorically speaking, he asked himself, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He saw so little faith, he asked himself, will he find faith on the earth? And it comes back again. So although there were crowds of people surrounding him, there were very few in that crowd that ever made a spiritual contact to him, with him. Now I want to look at the crowd. The first thing I'd have you note about the crowd, it was a big crowd. It was a big crowd, and they were pushing and shoving, trying to see what Jesus was doing. Remember, he was going around and he was healing. The The word was out. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, he was a healer. He was giving sight to the blind. He's giving legs to the lame. And at the same time, he'd take 5,000 people, men, not counting their wives and children, and he'd feed them with 7 fishes and a few loaves of bread. So they were amazed at this. So they were all around him, a huge crowd. But the fact of the matter is, they weren't there to make a spiritual contact with him. They were there because their only interest was in the food and the miracles he was doing. That was the only reason they were there. That's why no one else in that crowd, there's no mention of anybody else in that crowd except one unknown woman. Only the certain someone who reached out in faith and touched the hem of the Lord's robe was the only one that was mentioned. And it was mentioned so much that Jesus stopped and he said, "Somebody touched me." And that certain somebody was that woman with the issue of blood. And I dare say, I wasn't there, but I dare say that in that huge crowd, there was only one who wanted to touch Jesus with her faith. Nobody else did, but she did. And you know what? The same is true today. The exact same thing is true today. Our Lord Jesus still gathers crowds around him today, doesn't he? In some churches, there are mega crowds, and they're there because they like celebration. They're there because they're fellowshipping with a whole world of people, and they feel like they're in heaven. They're still surrounding them. For this crowd, unfortunately, it's not about touching Christ in faith. It's more of a show or a religious habit they practice. They're more about programs. They're more about music. They're more about talking about the things that tickle your ears. They're not there to feed on God's word. They're not there to learn responsibility. They're not there to learn about sin. They're not there for any reason. You have to have a good time. I saw a sign on the side of the road by a church. It said, "Come celebrate, come worship with us. It's exciting to worship with us." That's what it said. It was the same church that had the sign before that. It says, "When God does something, he does it very well." I wanted to go. I was so tempted to go knock on the door and say, "Pastor, can I talk to you for a minute?" "Yes." "What do you mean God does things very well?" "He does things perfect. He doesn't do things very well. I do things very well. He does things perfect." But that's what the world does. That's what they think of. That's how they think of God. They don't want to feed on God's word. All they want is the bread and the fish that the world offers them. They want to sing hymns about Christ, but they don't want to submit to him. They want to pray to a savior, but they don't want to repent of their sin. They want to come to church, but they want no contact with the biblical Christ. They don't want it. Do you hear an echo in here? Do you? There is one, right? I can guarantee you, you could go to any number of churches and there's no echo there. They're filled to the rafters. It's only the people that are looking for God. It's only people that want to make contact with Christ that come to a church like this. And those that come and try it, they get burned out. Why? Because they don't have a taste for Christ. They have a taste for religion, just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Today, the crowd that follows in the evangelical church today, the crowd that is surrounding Jesus, they're not there for him. And here's why. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:14, "But the natural man does not accept the things of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." Listen, right now there are a billion people in churches on this day. A billion of them. And they're all there for the same reason. They're there to hear a message about something that they like. That's not what we're here for. We're here to hear a message about this book and what it says. And there's a lot of stuff in this book that most people don't like. But if you're born again, you're a new creature in Christ, and as a new creature in Christ, you have a heart for God. You want to make contact with God. So the message is important to you. Other crowds gather around Christ for other reasons than being natural. They do it to promote their own causes, to fly their own banners. How about the crowd at Rome? They embrace Jesus as Savior, but they claim his power to remove sins by water baptism. They take a baby born with original sin, they tell you that. And then they take that baby and they submerge it in water. It comes up. Now he's saved. Why did Jesus come? That was my question to a priest once. If that baby, if I was baptized, which I was, by a priest, I come out, my original sin was gone. What was Jesus Christ? Why did he come here? We have to understand something. There are many, many people today who call themselves Christians and they do not represent Christ, the biblical Christ of the cross. They do not. They surround him. They talk about him. They sing praises to him. They throw money in the bucket. They got pipe organs, not just this one, but they got the ones with the big pipes, all of that stuff. And it's all pomp. That's all that it is. They claim Jesus is sovereign. They say, oh yeah, God is sovereign, but they also insist that he gave them the divine power on earth. So they've taken his power and they're going to give it to the people, not Jesus. Their interest isn't in touching Jesus by faith. It's in keeping the power and control over the people. And it's been that way since 325 AD. Power, that's all that it is. But it's not Jesus' power, it's not God's power, it's their claim to have power. In actuality, they have no power, none. How about liberals? Do we not live in a liberal world? Liberals are another huge crowd. They all have the cross, they all have the pews, the churches, they surround Christ, they do it, why? To embrace the doctrine of humanism. I'm okay, you're okay. They preach and teach same-sex unions. It's okay. It's okay. Gender changes. Yeah, go ahead. You want to be a boy, girl? You want to be an alien? I don't care. God doesn't care. Be what you want to be. You think that's funny, but I want to tell you something. When Wendy filled out a Social Security, change your name around to my name, it had on there gender, and it had the number, I think, 52. There's 52 different ways you can be as a human being. And they say it's okay. Oh, and a woman has the right to her body. She can do what she wants with it. So she doesn't want that baby. She can get rid of it. That's okay. The liberals believe in worldwide election. Oh, every God loves everybody. You're all going to go to heaven. Don't worry about a thing. And they also believe in a God that struggles against Satan. Oh, they think, well, God's got his hands full with the devil. Not to mention with us, but he's got his hands full with the devil. And I know he's going to meet all of our needs. Their motto is, we take God seriously, just not literally. These are the people that our Lord talked about. Because they were around, not just now. They were around when the Lord was here. In Matthew 15:8-9, says, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrine the precepts of men. How many churches have you been in, or do you know of, where most of the doctrine is all man-made? How many? Most of them. Why? Because they don't understand this book, and they don't want this book, because this book will not draw people. They're interested in numbers. They're interested in people. They're not interested in teaching God's children to disciple them. That's really what a church's job is. They're not interested in it at all. It's about the numbers. For over 2,000 years, crowds have been gathered around Jesus, but most of those crowds throughout those two centuries or better, they don't reach out and they don't want to touch him with their faith. They want to use him. They want to use him as a prop. And Jesus tells us why huge crowds who follow him don't reach out and touch him with faith. There's a reason. Another one is John 8:44. There was a big crowd of people. If you look in the beginning of John 8, talks about people who were who believed on him. And then, towards the end of John 8, they're trying to kill him. So they were what I call unsaved believers. They believed in what he was doing. They believed in the miracles and that he could do it, but they didn't believe he was God. So he told the big crowd following him, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. So it makes an understanding of why churches don't want God in the church. They don't want the biblical Christ in their church. Why? Because your father is the devil. If you're listening to this online and you're not teaching, or preaching the word of God, the biblical Christ, not a God of your imagination, shame on you. Your father's the devil, whether you want to believe it or not. That's very tough stuff to say to people. Very tough. I've actually told pastors they wanted to get together and do some ecumenical thing. I said, I can't. Why? We don't worship the same God. Mine's got a big G, yours has a little G. And then these unsaved believers, they come to church, and what do? They worship, they pray, they sing hymns, but they don't make contact with Jesus. And what does 2 Corinthians 5:21 say, or 5:20 say? It says, all the prayers that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. So yeah, they're praying, but they're not going to God. God hears them from these God, but those prayers aren't addressed to him. Nobody comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. Nobody. They're hearers of the word only. There's no personal connection. They don't want to touch him. They don't want to get plugged into him. And why do you think that is? Why do you think people who spent 30 years in a Protestant church don't want to hear about the biblical Christ? Simple reason. They have to give up their sin. They don't want to do it. That's the reason. Let's talk about the woman. But sometimes, as our text says, there is a certain somebody in the crowd that makes a connection to Jesus. There's people in this church that have made connections to Jesus. Most of us have. There's some that probably haven't. In the narrative preceding our text, we see that somebody was a woman in terrible need. Luke tells us she had an issue with blood that lasted 12 years. And no one could heal her. She probably spent all of her money and everything she had, and nobody could heal her. Now, the first thing I would have you note about this woman is her determination. She was determined. After 12 years, most people would give up. Most people would say, you know, I've had it for 12 years. I'm not getting rid of it. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm not going to just go around looking for a cure. She was determined. Now, why do you think that was? Because God put it in her heart to do that. Why? Because he put her in a certain place when he knew Jesus was going to be walking by, so we'd be preaching about it today. And that's how he works in all people's lives. That's just an obvious one. Now, the first thing to look at is her determination. So listen. This woman knew that just being in the crowd around Jesus wasn't going to help her. She knew that being on the same street with Jesus wasn't going to help her. No, her faith that Jesus could help her drove her to get near to him and to even touch the hem of his robe. It drove her through the crowd of people. I got to understand something. Back in those days, women didn't do that. Men went and the women were separate, but she went through the crowd of men, just so she could get down on her hands and knees and touch the hem of his robe. You know why? Because she knew. Her faith told her that was the only way to get the blessing that she so desperately needed. She knew it was her faith to do it. Talk about faith. She had to make contact and believe that Jesus would heal her. She had to believe it. She did. Otherwise, she wouldn't have done that. She wouldn't have pushed through that. What a lesson that is to us. What an example that is to us. To push, to press toward the mark, the Bible says. Push toward Christ. That's what we talked about in our Bible study this morning. how to have a closer, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to do it is push yourself out of the way so it make way for him. That's the only way you're going to do it. You can go to church every day. I know people that do. They go to church every day. You can read your Bible every day. I'm sure most of you do. You can pray every day. You can talk about God every day. But just being religious is like being in the crowd in our text. There's no connection to Christ. All of it has to be applied. You have to apply it. That's what Jesus told another crowd. There was a big crowd around him. They were following him in Luke 6:46. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? It's common. People are drawn to religion because the book of Ecclesiastes says that eternity is on our hearts when he made us. We were made to be immortal. That means we were made not to die. It was only after sin, and we were sentenced to death, that time began, sin began, and everything began. But eternity was still there, and when we leave this realm, we will go into the eternal realm with our knowledge. Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, will go into the eternal realm, and we're either going to go to glory or we're going to go to hell. It's that simple. And we know God is on every heart because Romans 2:14 says that the law of God is written on all men's heart, so they know it. That's why there's so many religions. That's why there's so many churches. They don't want to do it God's way, but that's why they're religious. There's no blessing until you reach out and you make contact with Jesus. Not one of you here that are born again has ever received a blessing until you reached out for Jesus and made contact with him. And that contact with him was your salvation. That contact with him was when he turned you from a pagan, for lack of a better word, from an unbeliever to a new creature in Christ, and your whole life changed. Why? Because the things that you were interested in your old life no longer have any meaning to you. You don't care about it. You care about your new life. That's why you don't care. I know in my case, my family, none of my family is saved, and they don't want to talk God. We have nothing in common, really. Maybe fishing, drowning worms, that's about it. There's nothing else. And as a new creature, you have the power of God, the resurrection power of God. Next week is Easter, and I got to tell you, we need to understand that resurrection of power that was in Christ is imputed into you. That's why he says you can do all things through him. You don't have to pray, oh Lord, strengthen me for this instead. If you're in adversity or you're facing affliction, yes, strength. But you don't have to say, Lord, strengthen me to get over myself. No, you have the power already. You just have to do it. There's no healing until you are that certain person, or that you touch Christ in faith. In addition to her perseverance, a sick woman also had to push her way through the crowd. Now, that's not an easy task for a woman, especially a woman that's weakened by an issue of blood. That couldn't have been very easy for her to do. A woman who had belonged in a bed. She didn't belong in that crowd. She belonged in a bed. But yet God gave her the strength to do it. How difficult must it have been for that fragile woman to make her way to the front of that crowd where Jesus was? But she did. Nothing would stop her. Her need for healing, her need for comfort, her faith strengthened her to move forward against all hardship, just so she could get on her knees and just reach out and touch the hem of his robe. How do we touch Christ as believers? How do we do that? How do we reach out in our day, every day? Or do we do it every day? Reach out and touch, just touch Christ. Not his robe, but just touch him. You can. The Bible says that he'll never leave you or forsake you. He's always there. The Holy Spirit indwells you. He'll through him, you can touch Christ because you're a spiritual being. I wonder how many of us do that every day. Do we push through our day so that we can touch Christ? Or do we just wake up in the morning, look at the clock, say, okay, I got to go to work, but I got a half hour, go to bed, okay, I got to go to bed, give it a half hour, an hour, whatever it is. Is that what we do? Or do we every day say, Lord, I'm not letting you go? Just like Jacob wrestled with the angel all night, he said, I'm not going to let you go till I get a blessing. Do we do that? Do you wrestle with God every day? Take him with you everywhere you go. Thank him for the flowers. Wendy and I went fishing yesterday, and we got 13 hits and caught 10 fish. Landed them. That was all God. Bad thing was we had to let them all go because you can't keep them till tomorrow. Well, what fun he gave us. And I'm telling you, this is exactly what happened. That morning, I had 2 Bible studies to do, and I had to counsel somebody over the phone. And yet, all I could hear in my head was, go fishing, go fishing, go fishing, go fishing. So Wendy, I surprised her. Why don't you put on your, get your boots on, let's go fishing. She said, what? Let's go fishing. So I go fishing, and the next thing you know, the rods are bending, and the drags are going out, and all this is happening, right? And the guy comes sitting on the thing. He says, you know, you can't keep them. I said, oh, I didn't know that. So I had to let them all go. But what happened was, he says to me, this was the point I knew with God. He said to me, he says, you know why you're catching so many fish? He said, why? He said, sniff the air. You smell the carbon dioxide from the truck that just dropped them all in. Just dropped in like 400 trout. And I'm sitting here thinking that, you know, I'm like Peter, there's no fish that I'm going to have. It was crazy. It was really crazy. But that, you know what? I needed to do that. I needed that for my head. I needed that for my soul. I needed to get away from everything and just do something that I haven't fished in I don't know how long. I haven't caught a trout in I don't know how long. Oh my God, that day was beautiful. I felt so refreshed and renewed. And that's because he put it on my heart to do it. Why? Because I'm reaching out for him all the time. I'm trying to touch the hem of his robe. I want him in my life every day. I want him to guide me. I want him to lead me. I want him to bring me wherever it is he wants me to go. I'll go. Even if it means going fishing. I'll go. I pray, beloved, oh, how I pray that God would give all of his people, the strength this woman had to reach out and touch his son. I pray that he would give each and every one of you that strength to do it. He would give each and every one of you that call to do it, the motivation to do it. Pray that he would empower us. Get past all the distractions of this life, and they are many, so we can reach out and have that intimate contact with our beloved Savior. You shouldn't let anything get between you and God. J.W. King, who said, if anything comes between me and God, it must be burned immediately. I pray that God would give us that heart. I pray that he would also give us the mind of our brother Paul in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, he says. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how we should be living every day, with that mindset right there. It's not me, it's not Brian who lives. I get up and every day, if my name is Brian, I got a credit card, my name is Brian, Tommy, right? But I really belong to Christ. My name, you know, and once again, Church of Rome likes to give you a name. You know, I think, I don't even remember what my confirmation name was or whatever it is. But I have the name of Christ written on my heart. And I have the name Son right underneath that I am the Son of God. And because of that, I want to reach out and touch him every day because it's him that brings me the joy. It's him that brings me the peace. It's him that I realize has organized my life. And it's him that gives me all the comfort and peace that I need to get through this life with the most peaceful heart. The woman in our text put everything in her life behind her, everything, so she could touch the Lord of heaven. That's what she did. She put her gender behind her. She put her unworthiness behind her. She put her struggle with the crowd behind her. She put her medical condition behind her. She put her fragile body behind her. This woman's entire focus was getting close to Jesus. That was it. Her entire being craved to just touch the hem of his robe. Nothing else mattered but that. And she would have died doing it if she had to. Dear friend, you mark this unknown woman. We don't know who she was, but you mark her experience with Christ well. For God has given us her as an example of how we're to be. An example of her dedication, an example of her strength, an example of her perseverance, an example of her faith. That's an example for us. You know, people say, well, the stories in the Bible, I don't like that word. They're called events. They're real people, and they're real events that took place. And that woman was a real woman who had a real condition and who did those real things. And it wasn't what chance or coincidence that God put her in there or put her on the, where Jesus was at the exact time he was there with that condition for 12 years. It wasn't our chance or coincidence, it was divine providence. Everything in your life is divinely providential. It's been put there by God. And you can believe that. That's what the Bible says. Jeremiah 29:11. I know my plans for you, they're for good, to give you a hope. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good, to them who love God, and they're called according to his purpose. That's providence. You could never promise that unless he knew what was going to go through your life. So every adversity is a positive thing. It's not a negative thing. And this woman's adversity and her strength and her endurance and her need to touch the hem of the robe of Christ, all of it is providential. And so is your lives, all of it. The same thing. Lastly, the blessing. In verse 48, the woman revealed herself. And Jesus gave her the blessing she was seeking. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Will we hear that? Do we hear that every day? Brian, go in peace. I'm walking with you today. Don't worry about a thing. New, walk in peace. Because I'm right beside you. When you fall, my angels will keep you from breaking your head off. You understand? Everything is by his will and grace. Everything. There's always a blessing. Always there will be a blessing to those who want to make contact with Jesus. Matthew 7:8. The Lord said, for everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. He's talking about his people. Of course, he's talking about those things being of his will. But it's also referring to everyone who has a personal contact with him. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that God's blessings come to only those who reach out to him. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Is that you? I want to leave you with a closing question to take home. Just something to take home and think about. You don't have to think about it now. Don't let it go, but think about it. As you push through your crowded life every single day, do you have a burning desire or a need to reach out and touch or make contact with Jesus? You have that. You should think about that. It's important. Do I have a need every day to reach out and have an intimate contact with Christ? And not just for a moment, but but throughout the day. That lady had to travel probably to get where she was. She had to force her way through a crowd of men, persevere, suffer, just to get there. When you push through your day, whatever's in your day, ask yourself that question. Do I have a need or a want or a desire to reach out and touch Christ? You should have a desire. You should have a desire. And not because of any religious reason. I'll tell you why. Because like the unknown woman had the issue of blood, listen, every believer has an issue with self. And the only way you'll get the victory over self, as she got the victory over the issue of blood, is to reach out and ask God to help you with it, to get you over it. We all have an issue with self. All of us have issues, period. But the biggest one, spiritually speaking, is the issue of self. And in the spiritual realm, self is as deadly as any blood issue. Leaking faith will cause a soul as much distress as that woman, that unknown woman, felt. The cure for her, the cure for you, the cure for me is the same. Reach out in faith and touch your Lord Jesus every single moment of the day, every day. Do that, and the issues of your life will be a lot easier to deal with. That's the cure we all need. Let's just do it for His glory and our good. Let's pray. Father, we know You give us faith. We know, Lord, the things that the Bible say, but sometimes the application of the difficult, and this is a great application. Take God with us everywhere we go. We do have issues of life, and our issues with ourself are just as dangerous to us as that issue of blood was to that lady. Just as painful, maybe even more painful, because we live with it every day, all of our life. She lived with it for 12 years. Would You help us to get over the issues of life? Would You help us, Father, to stay in contact with Jesus? Would You help us to do that? We know it's Your will. And so we ask for great faith, and always in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, in the blue hymnal, let's sing a few verses of I Know Whom I Have Reached. Hymn number 714. 714.